You know my deal. I have fun. And the day that education stops being fun for me, I'm out. Welcome back to Teacher Tales, where we give you the keys to overcoming teacher burnout to find work-life balance and educational bliss if it still exists. On this interview episode of Teacher Tales, Leaving Corporate America, Resilience from Tragedy and Trauma, and Fun as a Motivator take center stage as me and Mr. Pike discuss the surprising realities of transitioning from the business world to the crazy world of education. So, I mean, my main man, Pike, at least for a couple of days.
right?
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for doing the show. I am excited because just this couple hours we've been together of riding the bus up and just us being able to talk, I'm just getting to learn more about you, and like the onion keeps unpeeling. And
there's layers.
There's so many layers.
There are layers.
So I guess we need to start with the layer of how you got into education. So how long have you been in education? Because I know how many different roles have you had? And I guess what role do you have now?
All right. So you want to go backwards or I can start. I mean, this is my 6 year as an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
First year at Elkins. 5 years previous to that at Kempner. Then I was a social studies teacher. I taught mainly economics, a little bit of government, and was the head golf coach at Travis for 12 years. And then before that, I was a teacher coach at Bush for five. And before that, I was in business.
So how many years is that all together?
23 years.
This is your Jordan year in education.
This is my Jordan year. I'm not going to his comeback number. I will not be going to 45.
Man, I couldn't even imagine being in education for 45 years.
Things change so much. It's your department head, I praise her for the amount of time she's been in and the transitions and going through COVID.
Shout out to Miss Ward. She has been on the show as well. So
amazing lady.
Yes. I mean, I can't rave about her enough. And so we were able to bond over, experiences, like especially, through COVID and different department heads and things changing around, different principals. So having those people is one of the through lines to getting through burnout, is having those people that you can lean on.
And you mentioned something about going through different principals.
Yeah.
So I've been in this for 23 years, 17 years as a teacher coach, and the number of administrators that I went through, and I've seen the detriment to the campus.
Yeah.
And I know you're talking about burnout, but you get going as a teacher and you know how this administration or how these individuals respond to you or correct you or even engage with you.
Right.
You know, like it could have been a really uncomfortable 4-hour bus ride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It could have been.
And in business, you didn't get burnout. You get fired.
Oh, yeah. They just say get out.
You know, you're done.
Okay. So take us back to, because you had a career before this career.
I did.
Give us the breadcrumbs.
I've never not had a job.
Okay.
I've been mowing yards since I was 13 years old for the local realtors that have properties. I'd grab my dad's mower and gas can and weed eater and blower and go down the street and make my 20 bucks. But I've always had a job. So when I got out of college, came down to Houston, got a job, got married, started my path in business and was climbing the corporate ladder pretty good.
Yeah.
Got transferred to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And a year later, I was named president of Tulsa Litho Company.
Wow.
Rising
star.
Well, yeah. And rising star with morals. And the reason I say that is an individual was put in over me out of Houston. Mm-hmm. We were part of a Our parent company was out of Houston, and the man that named me president left to become CEO of another corporation. Mm-hmm. And the guy they put over me, we didn't like each other for years.
Uh-oh.
And so I walked, and it wasn't, I resigned.
Right.
You know. It was what it was. We moved back to Houston. We were young with a new baby. Mm. You know what that's like?
I do.
And so that's all of our support was in Houston. We came back. I also worked with kids at the Tulsa Boys Home.
Right.
Tulsa. I mentored, there's a Tulsa Youth Academy or an Oklahoma Youth Academy, and I mentored a student, a kid there.
Yeah.
I ran our training programs all through the printing business. You know, I was a product of our training program. It was a 3-year mm-hmm. program, and then I ran it. And my wife said, you need to teach.
You had all these different stops along the way where you were actually a teacher.
And, you know, the biggest thing was my first day in a classroom was at George Bush High School. And when I told the class to stop talking and they didn't stop talking, I wasn't used to that.
Like, wait a second.
Because a year and a half ago, I was the president of a company. And when I walked into a room, everybody stopped talking.
That was it.
I completed all my requirements, got my certificate, passed my test on the first shot, got out of school. I didn't go back to grad school for another 14 years. I had so much fun in the classroom.
Man, I'm with you. Because right now, when people ask me about being a teacher, and when I talk about being a teacher, I'm like, man, I have fun. Like what I do in class with my kids and the projects and the conversations that we have, and I mean, just all of the things that we're able to kind of unpack, you know, mm-hmm. not just in my life, but in their lives, and we can laugh and we can play. Some people cry. I'm not the crying person. But if that's what people need to do, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, so talk about that fun. How does it happen?
Come on. Well, it's you. You have to develop relationships with your kids from
day one.
The very first day. You have to be out there. Shake hands, fist bump, do whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
make comments. And I'm brutally honest with my kids. I'm like, it's going to take me weeks to remember your names. I said, so don't, when you say, you know, Coach Pike, you know my name? Back then it was Coach Pike.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope. Recognize
I know your face. I know your face, though. I know who you are. Come on.
And I just, you know, you just keep it real. I never tried to put up a facade. I never tried to put up that I have the power, you don't, you're going to do this or you're going to fail type deal. Mm-hmm. Probably because of my experience with the kids in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Working with at-risk youth there. And then my wife was, I owe it to her.
Shout out to the wives.
Yes, absolutely. She's in education, and she had gone through Flip and had a program, Capturing Kids' Hearts.
Mm.
And this is where the whole shaking a kid's hand at the door came from. You know, his point was every single kid on campus deserves to be recognized every single day.
Okay.
Talking to anybody, everybody, I don't care how tall, short, wide, whatever. Great. It doesn't matter. I love, you know, my whole deal, 23 years, I have fun. And the day that education stops being fun for me, then I'm out. I did it once. Of course, that was a lot longer ago from shorter career span. But come on. We have the best profession, in my personal opinion.
Best.
We don't get compensated. That's extremely unfortunate.
It's hard to be the best when you're not making the money.
You think about, you can't ever break down the number of hours you put in based on the amount of money that you make, because you'll cry yourself to sleep at night. But when it stops being fun, and there isn't any reason, I've been at low socioeconomic schools. Mm-hmm. I've been at non-socio. What I love about Elkins High School, and our district for that matter, is how diverse we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I've learned, because of our diversity in our district, I love Bollywood. You know, I that was brought on by students in a geography class. Said, right. You know, Mr. Pike, we watch this movie on this region. We watch this movie on this region. Can we watch this on this? You know, and so, yeah, you just have fun with the kids and be real with the kids, and it's easy.
Okay, so you keep mentioning fun, and when it's not fun anymore is when it's time to leave. Now, you've had some times where life just wasn't fun for a myriad of reasons, and you've had to do some stepping away. And so just to take care of yourself, and part of what we do here is we talk about that work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had some challenges of your own that you had to step away from. How did you figure it out? How did you deal with it? And how did you get back?
So I'm not one to feel sorry for myself.
Mm.
So I look at it that way. My biggest deal has always been I got to get back to the kids.
Mm.
And I got to be there for the kids. And I have to motivate every single one of my kids for 7 periods a day. So I got to get over it, you know?
Oh, man. So I said I had a story for you.
Yeah.
So my wife and I, we were trying. And no, actually, I'm sorry. We were not trying. We had just got back from China. And we were staying with a friend of mine. Shout out to Carlos. And we found out we was pregnant. And so some of my kids knew, and they call them, hey, man, how little Frank doing? How we good? We good? Shout out to Chuma if you ever hear this. And we lost it.
Oh.
Yeah. So I had one day, I was a long-term sub. So I couldn't, mm-hmm. you know, there weren't days.
Right, right.
So I talked to my AP. Shout out to Skinner. Shout out to Lyons Lewis. They held me down. And it was like, take the day, you know, be with your wife, you know, get yourselves together and that kind of thing, you know. But after that day, I was back in school one day, 2 days later. And so, you know, you just gotta, it's hard.
And you're dealing with something that you've never dealt with. You don't know how to deal with.
Don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Don't know how to do it. And so, the same kids that would check on little Frank, you know, they would ask, you know, how we doing? You know, how's it looking? And it's just like that.
Oh, you had to tell him.
It just peels the scab off. And you just shake your head and you go, no, they ain't. And that's all I could like say,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I say this, I think I said like it's over, something like that. And then you could just see it, like, dang, they felt it.
It's a true feeling.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now they're feeling something that, you know, for the first time too. It's, yeah. That is.
But it all started from us being genuine, having fun.
Mm-hmm.
That sixth, oh man, that sixth period. I will never forget that sixth period. I was a long-term sub. They was rowdy. Some of them played sports. I mean, it was insane. But we had so much fun in that class. I'm telling you, I don't know how much teaching was going on. I was doing my best. I wasn't an English teacher. But, man, we have built those relationships. So when those things happen, when that work-life balance gets out of whack or that burnout starts to happen, like you said, they can see it. And they mm-hmm. feel it, and they care, just, you know, just yeah, like we care
you,
about them.
You, it's when my mother passed away,
mm-hmm.
it was, so I had 6 months before that, I had an intestinal resection, and I was out of work for 6 weeks. Mm. And I'm getting cards from kids and stuff right. like that was, I mean, you know, that's precious. And then 6 months later, my mom passed away when I came back to work. And, you know, you're talking about telling them. It was the kids were more mature than what I expected.
Right, 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 right.
And it was, you know, again, the relationships that were being built that just, yeah. And they helped. They helped me get through it.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, you know, coach, you know, how you doing on that, on your grad school? You know, it's almost like they knew that I wanted to stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, different things like that.
They probably saw it all change in your face and your actions. They're like, dang, like we love Pike. Pike needs us right now.
And he's not, you know, he's not the same guy. Yeah.
Yep. So, and who could be?
Right. And I tell you what, I really tried. If there's one thing that I hope people will remember me by, is that when they see me, I'm probably smiling. Because I mean, why not? I'm in the hall, I'm smiling and everything like that. And that was, those kids helped me get that smile back.
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean, that's good. And now you're getting me emotional.
I'm getting emotional.
tonight, I'm not even going to lie. Talk about work-life balance, right? You just got to find the time to do the little things.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Like, how do you figure it out?
I feel that good teachers, good educators are unselfish by nature. Okay. And so I try to make sure that I don't necessarily worry about me. Make sure that I was spending enough time with my wife, spending enough time with my kids. Mm-hmm. I kind of curved my career around my kids as well, because I was coaching football and basketball mm-hmm. when my second son was born.
Yeah.
And I did that all the way until my oldest was 5 going into elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And a golf job opened up at Bush High School. And, you know, Bush is a lower social school that didn't have but maybe 6-7 kids in their golf team. Right. I'm like, well, I'm going to take that job. Yeah. I can go coach my kids.
Yeah.
Now, I did that for 2 years before I went to Travis. But when I left, we had 18 kids in that golf program.
I was building it up.
And, you know, our kids, they weren't country club kids.
Right.
Teach them how to get around a golf course. Teach them a few skills of, you know, life and whatnot. But our kids, they never embarrassed the school, whatnot. And I brought my kids to practice.
Yep.
Or my wife would bring the kids to practice. Yeah. I got pictures of my kids in Bronco football shirts on the Gator. And they're little.
Man, that's great.
Hayden's a baby. You know, it's just including them.
As much as you can.
Yeah. And the kids, our students love when our kids are around.
Oh, my God. I have people now. Still.
You got 2,800 babysitters.
They're like, bring Carter to school. Like, we want to see him.
Right.
I'm like, no, well, like, I'm going to have to chase them around. Like, y'all don't understand. But they do love when our kids come to school.
That's right. And it, again, shows you're human.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have an extra connection with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, what surprised you the most about being a teacher as you transitioned from the business world and got into teaching? And just maybe even just through the years, what surprises you the most?
Oof. What surprises me the most are the kids. As a young teacher, I feel like I had I'm not going to say an edge because mm-hmm. I was older. You know, I was 33 years old when I stepped foot in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years older than the average teacher. Okay? That comes out of college. So my naivety of the world wasn't there, but of the kids,
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, you guys are creating some amazing things. Or yeah. I had a pretty rough class one time, and it was it's one of those classes where 55% of the time you're managing the class.
Yeah.
Okay, and it happens. Not every class is utopia, and it's just everybody yeah. listens. And I gave a project to review a unit in mm-hmm. economics, which can be either the hardest, the most boring, or interesting course, right?
Yeah.
And I had a a young kid named Ivan. So there's my plug to Ivan.
There you go. Shout out to Ivan.
From Puerto Rico, Boricua. I still have his Puerto Rican flag that he gave me the last day of school. And there's key to this because Ivan hated me. All right? Because I was on him. I held every kid to the same standard. You're not going to be late to my class. We're not doing this late work stuff. You're putting me through more blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Ivan fought it. And I do this one assignment, and Ivan said, "Can I rap?"
Okay.
And I said, "You can do whatever you want." I said, "It has to be clean, and I want to see..."
I need an outline.
I want to see the lyrics.
That's what I'm talking about.
And so he did... I still have the CD to this day.
Wow.
From 20 years ago. No, I don't have a CD. I have a floppy disk.
A floppy disk.
You can't even use that anymore. I don't even know where... I still have it, and it's Ivan's project. And I'm a pack rat. I have boxes in my attic of everything a kid's ever given me in 23 years. Post-it notes with names on it. Ivan did this rap. And I'm like, and I talked to Ivan afterwards. I go, "Man, that's pretty deep."
Yeah.
I go, you're bringing in Keynesian economics. And he goes, "Mr. Pike, you said if there's ever government intervention, Keynes has a hand in it," or something like that. And I'm listening to him talk.
Break it down.
And I go, "You just got your first A." You know?
Yep.
And it was just out of nowhere.
Yep.
Calling a kid's parent because the kid did something good.
Yeah.
You talk about surprising me? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And that kid who had never gotten over a C in school ended up getting a B in my class.
Mm-hmm.
And for years was always stopping by.
That was your guy after checking. That.
Yep, Corey Endahar. There you go, Corey. First year, dude. Very first year. First year teaching. And it was flipping too.
Man.
I shook his hand. He came in late, tried to raise the scene, never let go of his hand, walked him to the very first seat in the room. And he's weirding out because I got his hand still. And I told the class, I said, "Listen, Corey's only late because he wanted to make sure everybody was in the room. We're not having any issues in this room because Corey's going to take care of it." And Corey's like, "Yeah." And that was it.
Wow. That is so
just
creative.
Just like that.
I think, and that was your first year?
That was my first day.
Wow.
At George Bush High School in 2001.
Man, having that... Because you had been through like all of these other battles and wars, like you were like kind of this hardened person, even though you didn't have this classroom experience, you had all this life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay, and you didn't have classroom experience, but you had a lot of experiences with teenagers.
Correct.
You know, and handling them in a certain way, and maybe you got some that are rough and you got some that are nice, but you were going in there with a ton of stuff in your teacher tool belt, you know, to be able to use, for sure, no question.
Except how to teach.
That part is easy, though. That's the easiest part.
You know what? I tell you what, that is the part of teaching that became the easiest.
Oh man, if you know how to deal with people, the teaching part, like there's tons of books and stuff out there that can tell you how to teach. There are also books that can tell you how to deal with people, but that has to come from the heart.
And it has to be natural.
It has to be natural.
And then you figure out the kids, you dig in their backpacks, you figure out how do they learn.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a class of, you know, 30, 35 kids.
35, 36.
And you may have 36 different ways you got to present your information, and you do. You don't just throw it out there and take a grade.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to make it in this business if you...
Wow. I mean, I think we could do this forever, and
we
probably need to get another episode going, but we're gonna jump now into the five W's.
So
who, what, when, where, why, and I am going to let you choose which W you want to do first.
I'll do whatever. We'll just start at the top and go down.
All right, then I guess we're starting with who.
So
I think we already like covered this. Okay, but you talked about a couple students you remember.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask this one. Who's your your road dog in education? Who is that person that you can call up at any time? Now, this could be at a certain time. This could be early on. It was this person. Maybe now it's a different person. Whoever in your mind you have, shout that person out.
Wow, Michael Pruitt.
Okay.
He was a first-year teacher when I was a first-year teacher, 23.
Mm-hmm.
So he has since left the business. I still touch base with him.
Yeah.
So he's one of my big role models. My journalism teacher from high school.
Wow.
Yep. Karen Collins then, Karen Stinson now.
A lot of shout outs in these episodes.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, she's the only, I had a lot of great teachers, but she was really the only teacher that ever made me think that I would want to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? You know?
Well, you go, I like how they do this, and I think maybe I could one day.
Yeah, and then, as far as Scott Fordham was my mentor in the printing business that I was able to reach out for certain things for a while. And then, to tell you the truth, it's whoever I see. I ask that question. I'm not afraid. If I don't know the answer, I'll ask the question.
Excellent. Okay. Who's done? We got what, when, where, why.
What, when? When what? When? Who's on first?
Yeah. Okay. When did you begin to feel confident in yourself as a teacher?
Wow. Probably the spring semester of my first year.
That was quick. That's quick.
Well, I feel that my business background, mm-hmm. And whatever acumen I may have had in that, kind of helped me make my adjustments.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, it was different, but in the spring is when I finally got relaxed.
Yeah.
I think being a football coach and teaching the very first year, not ever had an education class, that was tough. That was tough.
Okay, we got what, where, why.
What, when. So we need where and why.
We have what, where, and why.
Oh, left. All right, yes. What?
What's your escape plan?
My escape plan. So my escape plan could start January of 2025.
Hey.
I actually had my mid-year review mm-hmm. with our principal yesterday, and I told her that I would give her till the end of next year, and then we would talk again. My escape plan is to take a zero responsibility job for at least a year, probably. Going from teaching into administration, it's different. It's a lot. And I only have one speed. You know it.
I can see that.
And, I'm not getting younger,
mm-hmm.
and I'm blowing and going. You know, in the fall, this past fall, 60, 70, 80-hour weeks, every week. On Saturdays that I didn't have things to do, I found things to go to.
Right.
And volunteered or did stuff just because it's 100% about the kids.
Yeah.
And if me showing up somewhere made, if you got a band of 300 kids and if mm-hmm. I made one kid's day.
Yeah.
Then I did what I was there for, you know? But I really want something with no responsibility. And then I don't know.
I don't know if you could do that.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to go work at Academy folding shirts and end up being a store manager.
Exactly. That's exactly what would happen. You'd be running the regional academies in Southeast Texas. I'll be like, Mike, what are you doing? You're supposed to be retired, working on your third career.
Well, there's a couple things in education. It's kind of like a mentor program where mm-hmm. you have new teachers or new administrators
yeah.
that are coming in, and there's private companies that do that.
You'd be great at that.
The cap and gown industry. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a good relationship with our cap and gown distributor. We've been talking for several years. Okay. If there was going to be a career, I would probably pursue that with that family.
Mm.
I really like the family. You know, the kids have done a great job, so Dad doesn't have to work. And
shout out to the
kids. I think they need guys like me, so it someday they don't have to work. You know, I don't have my own company. I'm going to work for somebody else, and might as well make them rich.
Okay, so we have where and we have why.
Where?
Where's your happy place?
In school or out of school?
Out of school.
Probably with a fishing pole in my hand in the middle of a lake. Absolutely. And now it's going to be with my new puppy.
Yep. Bring the puppy with you.
If I were to go that... And then the easier thing is to drive to the beach and just...
hang out.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, we're down to our last W.
All right.
Why do people quit teaching?
Overworked and underpaid is probably the biggest, or is one. I'm not going to say the biggest. People don't understand the stress that teachers go through day in and day out. And I'm going to step back. People don't understand the stress that good educators go through. Ooh. Because good educators, yeah. effective educators, put their heart and soul into the kids.
Mm.
And there's a lot of stress there because, you know, unfortunately, kids do disappoint. And when we go into a classroom and mm-hmm. we're teaching... and we're assessing and we're giving that quiz and we think we've done a great thing and all of a sudden we got 30% failures, you're like,
Listen. With me, because it's all speeches. So when they get up there and I'm like, this is awful. Like, this is not what, this is not what I taught y'all to do. What happened to the project? This is not, yeah, it sucks when that happens.
And then, it really does. And then you think about it. And then at which point do you got to stop thinking about it? Because yeah. work-life balance.
Yep. Got to go home to my wife and son.
Right. So I think that just people don't understand the stress. I mean, there's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
People will blame, you know, kids are a reflection of their parents and that's why they act the way they do. And we're just babysitters and da-da-da. You know, get over all that stuff because society's society. You right. can't change whatever that element is there. What you can do is provide a safe, supportive environment for all your kids.
Yep.
And hope that they, and you can't save them all. That was one of the greatest things my wife told me.
Can't save them all.
You can't save them all. And then her next thing was you can't feed them all. And you got to stop feeding them because you don't have the money. Because you're a teacher now. You're not in business.
Oh, man. So. I think that's perfect. That's a perfect spot to end it. Pike, man, it's a pleasure.
I knew it would be good. I appreciate it. This was fun.
This was a lot of fun. We definitely got to do more stuff.
Oh, have me back.
Yeah. We'll do it.
Absolutely.
I hope you all enjoyed that conversation between me and Mr. Pike. He is the man. He is one of those guys that is just easy to vibe with. So I knew he'd be great coming on, and I think he was. With that being said, remember, life will happen. It's important to pick yourself up, and when you can't, knowing who's there to help you up, because we can't do it all on our own. You are not meant to go through life as an island. We need people. Also, some teachers feel like they have the best job in the world. Even if you don't feel this way,
you can still find the joy in what you're doing and bring that joy to the classroom with you as much as you can. Everyone will be better for it. Not just you or your students, but your colleagues as well. As always, thank you for listening. Keep teaching, keep learning, and I will see you all on the next journey.